Hello and welcome to the very first MLB Whip Around. I'm your host, Michael Garafo, alongside my MLB analyst, Benjamin Dixon. We are here to talk about everything MLB. We're going to start it off with Manny Machado, Bryce Harper, and go all the way around the things that have happened in the last week. And MLB, let's do it. So, Ben, welcome to the very first MLB Whip Around, the show that I've been looking forward to for pretty much the entire year. But it's definitely an exciting one to start.
Yeah, I'm psyched to be here. And can't wait to get the show started.
So we are going to start it off with some of the Manny Machado and Bryce Harper things that have been happening over the last week. Obviously, Manny Machado and Bryce Harper, the hot topics throughout the MLB offseason. However, they've been very kind of under-talked about. I mean, everyone's talked about Manny Machado a lot more than Harper, but they both have been really kind of underwhelming. We started this offseason thinking that they both were going to sign probably within the first few weeks, and here we are halfway through January almost, and neither of them have a team that they're even really kind of determined to go to. So pretty much Machado right now, the things that are going around, there are a lot of teams that have given him offers. The Phillies, Yankees, and White Sox all seem to be involved from the start. I pretty much predicted that he was going to go to the White Sox, but right now, it's pretty much anyone's game. I mean, he's looking for 10 years and $300 million probably, and he's probably not going to get that. I don't think anyone's going to be willing to give him that many years.
Yeah, we'll definitely see what happens. And he met with those teams in, what, late December?
Yeah.
And they said he was going to sign right after the new year. It's January 8th right now, and he's still not signed. There's no hints of him signing anytime soon in the next few days. But you look at all this with Machado, there's speculation. You see the Dan Clark report. No one knows how credible that guy is, saying he's a Yankee and reaffirming it so many times. But no one's really believing that guy. You see yesterday the White Sox signed John Jay, obviously a veteran outfielder. Good piece to line up for veteran leader in the clubhouse. And you got him, Yonder Alonso, who's Machado's brother-in-law, on the White Sox, potentially Machado going there because of that. That doesn't really make much sense to me because you look at the Yankees roster and it's just up and down, more loaded than the White Sox, and you make friends with those guys. And you got the Yanks. I know, Mike, you were going to go into this in a little bit. Signed Troy Tulowitzki, shortstop, league minimum. I think it's a great signing. Low risk, high reward, if anything. And you really look at this. Brian Cashman said that Tulowitzki is going to be the Yankees starting shortstop. You never know. But you got Tulowitzki starting shortstop for the Yankees as of now. You got Gene Segura starting shortstop for the Phillies as of now. The White Sox got that empty spot. I mean, Mike, what do you think is going to happen with Machado? I'm really curious because no one really knows.
Well, I mean, there's obviously the Yankees are really probably the front runner from everyone's point of view because of the fact that they are willing to spend the money for him and they really want him, and he fits the best in that lineup. I mean, if you look at the Yankees lineup with Manny Machado in it, it's just even more dominant and it's a bigger force than it could even be imagined to be. But I think, honestly, any of the three teams, whoever gives them the most money, I think is going to be who lands them. Because I feel like, yes, people are saying even if the Yankees give a little less money than the other two teams, the Yankees are going to get him. I feel like he's going to go where the money is. That's pretty much the case everywhere. If you're going to get more money somewhere, I think he's going to go there. But I feel like the team that needs him the most are definitely the White Sox, which is why I feel like they might give him the best offer, which is why from the start I had the White Sox, because they really do need him, and he could bring that spark to their lineup that they can have for the future.
Well, I was talking about this with my dad the other day. You look at Manny Machado. He played on the Orioles, a losing organization. He was stuck there for a number of years. And baseball is a team sport. It's not a sport where, like in basketball, LeBron James is going to go somewhere and make them instant contenders. Machado is a guy who he can go to a team. He can definitely make it better, but baseball is not a one-man game. He's not going to elevate him to the top. I just think if he goes to the White Sox, it'd definitely be about money and not a winning decision. If he wants to win, he'll definitely go to the Yankees. And there's been some weird hints about him going to the Yankees, him following and then unfollowing Yes Network on Instagram. You got him following CeCe Sabathia's personal account on Instagram. And rumors in the past couple of days that his wife wants him to go to New York City, and she has a very strong influence over what happens with him. I mean, who knows what happens? I just want him to sign already. Just get it over with. I mean, it's a joke already. Come on.
Well, we have the one instance of Patrick Corbin at his brother's wedding where they gave him a Yankees hat and said, go here, and he ended up signing with the Nationals. So, I mean, maybe that family luck really doesn't have a matter. But, I mean, it's just wherever Machado goes, their team's going to be a lot better for a long time. And again, like you said, he can't carry the team, but he definitely can give them a very well-needed bat wherever he goes. They're going to definitely be a contending team. In terms of Bryce Harper, the guy's looking for $300 million for 7 to 10 years. I really don't think he's going to get it. And the only team that has been willing to give him that money were the Nationals, and they offered him a lot more than $300 million. My guess is probably around 330, because it was reportedly overwhelmingly more than $300 million. I just think the problem is he doesn't want to go back to the Nationals. I feel like he wants to be on a winning ball club where they're going to be proven to win. The Nationals haven't made it out of the division series in their entire career, and Harper's been in that division series and hasn't been able to make it out. And it's proven that wherever he goes, he is going to carry them, because the Nationals are pretty much nothing without him. If the Nationals don't have Bryce Harper this year, I don't care who they sign. They're not going to be as good, and they're not going to be contenders. So anywhere Harper goes, it's really going to be that they are a lot better because of it. I mean, you look at the two guys, Machado and Harper, you've got to evaluate both. Harper is a guy who's going to hit a lot of home runs, but he's also not going to hit for average like Machado can. What do you think?
I mean, we'll definitely see what happens with Harper. I don't necessarily think that he doesn't want to go back to Washington. I just think that 10-year, $300 million contract was so early in the offseason that he wanted to see what his market really was. And I think for both these guys, Machado and Harper, their market has not hit what they expected. And Harper, like you said, obviously offered significantly more than $300 million. We'll see what that does for him. He's meeting with the Phillies this week, face-to-face. We'll see what they offer him, if they offer him anything. And, I mean, to me, it's just baffling that the Yankees are not going after this guy. I always prioritized him over Manny Machado. I mean, this guy grew up a Yankees fan. He had a Mickey Mantle poster above his bed. You got a future Hall of Famer who's 26 years old, entering his prime, a lefty bat in Yankee Stadium. It just doesn't make any sense if you're Cashman not going after him. I don't like the whole too many outfielders excuse. You got Brett Gardner, who was bad for signing him, in my choice, in my opinion. You got Jacoby Ellsbury, the guy hasn't played in years. You got Clint Frazier, obviously a guy like a prospect, can't stay healthy. And who are your outfielders? Hicks, Stanton, and Judge.
And Judge.
So why can't Harper fit in there? It just really doesn't make much sense. I think he would complete that Yankees lineup, that lefty bat, Yankee Stadium. But like we've seen with the reports, Yank's not going after him. And I know you, not a huge fan of Harper as a Mets fan, but I mean, I think it's surprising the Mets aren't going after him either. That he's a guy they definitely could use, and the Mets definitely have some money to spend, huh?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm more of a Harper, like, I'd rather have Harper than Brian would. I mean, if we got Harper,
oh,
I mean,
Brian's totally against
Brian
Harper.
Brian hates him, but I mean, I'm okay with it. I like Bryce Harper. I think he's a good player. I just don't like his attitude with the Nationals, but I feel like that's just the Nationals' attitude. I mean, there are a few teams in baseball where you look at them and you say, like other teams that watch them say that they're jerks and they're not, that they're poor sports. One of them being the Nationals, obviously the big one being the Yankees. But I mean, you think about it, the Nationals are just they're a bad atmosphere. And I feel like that's why Harper's got such a bad rep, because I feel like he's kind of jumping into that atmosphere and it's made him become a different player. But he's definitely a great player. And I mean, people are going to sign Machado overlooking the fact that he's just not the best of attitudes as well, because he's just a good hitter. And I mean, I think, honestly, if I'm a Mets fan, I'd say you either roll with the cards and go with Nimmo, Conforto, and whoever else you want to throw out there and try and maybe make something work, or you go out and sign Harper and waste a lot of money and hope that he does well, because that's a lot of money that the Mets just don't have to spend, and they never really did. That's why I think eventually he's just going to go to the Dodgers or the Nationals. It's kind of gone from Nationals to Dodgers in my mind, but I think now he's more going to be leaning towards the Nationals, because they seem to be the only team really, really involved. But I feel like the other team that's not would be the Dodgers, because of that trade that they made, giving away Puig and Kemp. I think that would be the best place for him to go as a player to try and win, and win now.
Yeah, my gut's going to the Nationals. I don't know why. But Dodgers definitely an option with that crazy trade they made, giving away Puig and Kemp. But we'll definitely see what happens.
So moving along, some more Yankees news. The Yankees could possibly keep Sonny Gray into this season. I know you've definitely got some thoughts about that.
Well, I mean, it really doesn't make any sense. The guys, whoever he goes, he's going to go back to his old self. If you look at his stat comparisons from at Yankee Stadium and on the road, it's really amazing to see the difference in how much better he's been on the road. And there's still about half the league involved in Sonny Gray, according to Cashman. And yesterday, there were reports that the Padres are still in on him. But keeping Sonny Gray, if you're the Yanks, you look at this. I think the only reason they're saying this is because of, obviously, CC Sabathia's heart surgery over the offseason. Obviously, a big deal. And you just really don't know. I mean, he's expected to be back by spring training, but it's heart surgery. For a big man like CC Sabathia,
it's a crapshoot.
You never know what's going to happen with that. So I think Sonny Gray, keeping him for now, is just more of, I guess, a reassurance. If I have him as my number 4 or number 5 starter going into the year, I don't hate it. But I do think if they don't trade him now, he'll definitely be gone by midseason. And the Yankees should expect to get some return off of him because he's definitely a different pitcher away from home.
Yeah, he really is. I mean, unless he really picks up the pace and goes back to the way he was in Oakland, I think you're right. I think he's going to be gone before the halfway point in the season, because if he performs the way he did this year, he's just not going to be wanted by many teams, and they could probably get rid of him for a very, very small price. I mean, I would take him as a Mets fan, but the problem is maybe he's just choking under the New York pressure, or maybe it's just the Yankees pressure. I mean, definitely there's a lot of pressure playing in New York, but playing in a pinstripe uniform as opposed to the Mets uniform is definitely a lot more pressure. So maybe that's tying into it, but I think pretty much anywhere Sonny Gray goes, he can definitely be a mid-rotation starter, and definitely if he gets back to the way he was, he could be at the top of that list for sure. The next thing I want to talk about are the Mets when they made their trade for Keon Broxton last week, a very undervalued trade. Keon Broxton, the starting center, but he was a platooning center fielder with Lorenzo Cain on the Brewers last year. Not known for his offense, but his defense is fantastic. The guy has robs on average about 10 home runs a season. That's something that you would not see out of a center fielder. And the Mets don't even get that out of Juan Lagares when he's playing 162 games. And Keon Broxton played 50 games this year, and he robbed so many home runs. He was, I don't remember if he was the Gold Glove, but he definitely was in contention for it, and he didn't even play half the game. So he's definitely going to be he's a defensive pickup. I don't think they should stop there, though. I think they should definitely go after a guy like A.J. Pollock. But Keon Broxton's a good guy to throw in that bench, to throw in late in games for some defense.
Yeah, only 28 years old, a career 221 hitter. Obviously, the offense is not doing it for him. You sent me that montage, though, of his home runs robbed. Obviously, a great center fielder, a borderline Gold Glove guy. Hasn't won any yet, but we'll see what happens. But the Mets definitely needed some outfield depth, so great pickup for them.
So the next thing, the Yankees re-signing Zach Britton. I know you're definitely really excited about this one, a guy who's definitely going to be a nice piece in that bullpen. The Yankees keep bringing these guys in, and it's definitely going to help affect them throughout the year.
Yeah, I'm pretty hyped about this one. Zach Britton, obviously a great ground ball reliever out of the bullpen. If he gets back to his form from a couple of years ago, he's one of the most unstoppable relievers in baseball. And going into the offseason for the Yanks, I was like, you need to get either Britton or Andrew Miller. Andrew Miller goes off the board. Britton became a must-sign, and they got that deal done. 3 years guaranteed for the team, but it's a little bit of a weird deal. I'm not exactly sure. I think Zach Britton can opt out after the second year, and then there's a team option after the third. I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah, it says, however,
anywhere Britton, from 2 to 4 years, I think it is. And now the Yanks got to go get Adam Ottavino. I mean, I didn't know much about this guy going through the offseason, watching his highlights. I mean,
he's pretty outstanding.
That would make the Yankees one of the most lethal bullpens on paper of all time.
Yeah, I feel like Adam Ottavino is one of the most underrated relievers in baseball. I mean, the guy said that he could strike out Babe Ruth every time.
Yeah, he definitely caught some eyes with that.
He did. And, I mean, nobody really thought about him. Nobody was paying attention to him. He goes out there, says he could strike out Babe Ruth. Now he's on everybody's watch list, and everybody wants him. And he's a guy who can make any bullpen a lot better. I mean, the Rockies, it wasn't doing it for him because, I mean, anybody who's going to pitch in Coors Field is not going to have a good time. So, I mean, if he goes to an American League place where he doesn't have to pitch at Coors Field anytime, he's definitely going to be in a lot better position. But right now, the Yankees are making moves, and I feel like they still need a starting pitcher. I know you said you got James Paxton, but the starting pitcher role is definitely open right now, and you can't rely on CC. You can't rely on Sonny Gray. Masahiro Tanaka can be up in the air sometimes, and right now you're just sitting on James Paxton's back, and you got to hope that you can ride it.
And Seve, too.
And Happ. That's true.
I forgot
Severino.
I mean, the market's really thin for a pitcher at this point. If you get Machado, do you try and shop Andujar to the Indians for Kluber or Bauer? You never know what happens. I personally love Andujar. Don't want to get rid of him. But we'll definitely see what happens. It really is a confusing situation. If Machado gets added to that situation, that Yankees infield, you never know what they can do for Andujar. Definitely a valuable piece. The AL Rookie of the Year runner-up could definitely get a starting pitcher with the caliber of Kluber or Bauer.
Yeah, that's very true. And then moving on, we've been Mets and Yankees this entire time. The Mets traded.
People want to know.
Yeah, I know. But it's just weird that they've been the only ones making moves. I mean, the Mets made a lot of trades in the last week. I'm kind of just highlighting the important ones. They traded away Kevin Plawecki to the Indians, which now leads to everyone believing that Travis d'Arnaud is now the backup catcher to Wilson Ramos. But there have been teams that have been interested in Tomas Nito and d'Arnaud, I would love to get rid of both of them, maybe get a solid pitcher. Because the Mets definitely don't need to worry too much right now about their backup catching role. I feel like if Ramos gets hurt long term, then you make a move and you try and get a guy who can be your catcher. But for right now, I'm happy with Wilson Ramos. And the guy who's going to be backing him up is going to play once or twice a week, so he doesn't need to be a top-notch caliber guy. But Kevin Plecky, a guy who definitely had some good times on the Mets but never really reached his full potential, and maybe he will now when he's with the Indians, because the Indians don't have a catcher. They traded away Yan Gomes to the Nationals, so Plecky can be their starting catcher, but more maybe he'll play behind the other guy, completely for blanking on his name right now. But I feel like Plecky is a good opportunity for him. He's going to play a little bit more, and maybe it'll allow him to develop what he has gotten in the potential department. So the final one of the day that we're going to talk about here, the White Sox signing Kelvin Herrera. The White Sox are making some small moves this offseason that definitely could help them out. I mean, Kelvin Herrera is a guy who was the star closer of the Royals. And honestly, you think about it, he could be the center of that bullpen and could close down games in an instant. I mean, when he was with the Royals, he was lights out. His curveball is phenomenal, and he could strike out almost any player there. But a two-year contract for $18 million, that's pretty much around what we've been seeing this offseason in terms of relievers. And I think it's a very good deal for the White Sox to get a guy like that. Now, I mean, they've gotten Yonder Alonso, John Jay, and Kelvin Herrera. They've hit some of the bases that they wanted, and now I think the next big target's got to be Machado. But what do you think about this Herrera signing?
It's definitely a good deal. Some high upside there. Guy with 220 career ERA, excuse me, 280 career ERA. Obviously a beast for the Royals. Two-time All-Star 2015, 2016. Won that World Series with the Royals over the Mets in 2015.
It's okay.
Not trying to rub it in there. Just pointing out the fact that our viewers can remember that one. And I really do think it's a solid signing for the White Sox. Anytime you can improve your pen by getting a guy like Herrera, it's definitely something you can't pass up.
So that will do it for us today in the very first edition of the MLB Whip Around. I am here alongside Benjamin Dixon. A great first show here. We will be back in 2 weeks, but the MLB Whip Around off to a very good start. And thank you for listening. We will see you next time.